For 7.5 years, my guest was paralyzed from the waist down with no chance of recovery. Until a miracle happened. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with a retired colonel in the Israeli Army. Freak accident. It could happen to anyone. He's working on a moshav, like a kibbutz in Israel, and he goes out to milk the cows, and he slips. I mean, it could happen to anyone. What happened, David Yaniv?
I slipped.
What happened?
Fell on my back. They took me to the hospital. They had an x-ray, a myelogram, and they found out that I had two dislocated hernias. When I said, where do we go from here? They said, we're going to operate. It's common.
Two dislocated what?
Yes, hernias. A spinal cord. A hernia.
Okay.
And when I said, where do we go from here? They said, we'll operate. It's a common operation. Within 10 days, you should be on your feet again. And of course, I consented. But when I woke up from the anesthetic that very day, later in the evening, I found that I was paralyzed from the waist down.
What did the doctor say?
I called the doctor, it was a night shift. And he told me there's not much he can tell me. The professor the next day will tell me exactly what happens. But he said it is very common that after an operation there's a swelling. And that swelling sometimes causes paralysis. So by the morning it could be fine or it couldn't. But the professor will explain to me. The following morning the professor came with his entourage, doctors, nurses behind him. Came to my bed and said, Mr. Yaniv, I'm terribly sorry, that's all I can say. Whilst we were operating, we realized that we did something wrong, something happened, and you will be paralyzed for life. And my suggestion to you is to learn to live with it.
Learn to live with it? I mean, a freak accident, a medical mistake, paralyzed for life. Learn to live with it. Well, David, did you just give up immediately, or did you try to solve the problem?
Well, quite honestly, I didn't realize what situation I was in at that particular time. You know, I'm not a doctor. And of course, you hope for the best. You always think it'll happen to somebody else, not to you. So I didn't give up immediately. I didn't realize what situation I was in. But I embraced myself for the worst at the same time.
What did you investigate to get healed?
Nothing. Really nothing. I just took the words of a doctor, of the professor at the time, who told me that don't even expect to get better. Learn to live with it. And 10 days later, they took the stitches out. They sent me to a convalescent home by the name of Beit Levinstein, which is one of the best in the world, because all the injured in Israel go there. And 3 months later, after fitting me with iron caliper shoes, special brace, with a catheter, of course, they taught me how to control my bowels, psychological treatment. They sent me home to the moshav and into the real world.
And what was the real world like all of a sudden? I mean, here you're a young colonel in the Israeli army, a wonderful family, and now You're paralyzed from the waist down.
You see, Sid, as long as I was in this hospital, I felt relatively well because everybody around me was paralyzed. Mm-hmm. Some were even much worse than I was. But when I came into the real world, this is when I realized I was paralyzed. The moshav were nice to me. They rearranged the house for me. They put railings everywhere, from bathroom to everywhere else. They were really nice, but I realized that I was not like everybody else. And self-pity started to creep into my life like a cancer. I was jealous. Everybody was walking, including of my wife and children. They were walking, I wasn't.
How did your wife take this?
Relatively well. I was the one who didn't take it well. I hated everyone, including myself. I was bitter, really and truly bitter. I couldn't forgive the doctor. I couldn't forgive it.
Well, out of curiosity, did you sue the doctor?
In Israel, you cannot sue. You see, medicine is free in Israel, unlike in America, where they can sue you for anything. In America, nobody sues. So it didn't even enter my mind.
In Israel, nobody sues.
Nobody sues, though.
Okay, so did you at least try some alternative things?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You see, on the Moshav, which was a very secular Moshav, by the way, very secular, nobody believed in anything, they sent me to Transcendental Meditation.
Did that help?
No, nothing. Nothing. Then they had this one guy who is still alive today, apparently, in Jerusalem. They say he's got electric hands. And if he puts hands on you, you will be healed. And he's got something, a success rate of 70%. And didn't work with me. They've tried everything, and nothing helped. And eventually, I gave in. I succumbed to the situation that I was in, as I was saying, well, nothing is going to help. I'll really have to learn to live with it.
That's supposed to happen to someone else, David.
Always.
You must have been a very, very miserable, depressed, angry person.
To say the least. I hated everybody, including myself. Including myself. It reached a stage where my wife used to work overtime so she doesn't have to face me because I really wasn't a very nice person to live with.
So it was a problem for you, but it was an equal problem for her and your family.
Very much so. Very much so.
Were you able to do any work at all?
Yes. I did. Firstly, the army kept me for a while, for at least 2 years, where I did desk work for the army. And then, according to law, they had to discharge me because they're not allowed to keep an invalid in the army. So they discharged me, and then I got an office work on the Moshav. But here again, I used to sit in the window coming from work and watch people walk. And all I could think was hate towards them. It wasn't even their fault. I was jealous they were walking, I wasn't.
What about within your own religion, within Judaism? Did you look in that direction for help?
Not at all. I was a secular Jew. I was never, never a religious. In fact, I thought that people who believed in God are nuts. I did not believe in God at all. Not at all. And of course, the lifestyle on the Moshav was the same thing. We had a very secular Moshav. There was no synagogue, there was...
Did you despair of even life?
At one point, yes. At one point.
You know, this doesn't happen to you, but it happened to David Yaniv. We're going to be back right after this word. We're going to find out about a great, great miracle. Be right back.
Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, just chatting here with David Yaniv. And David, former colonel in the Israeli army in freak accident, has surgery, which was supposed to be minor, to fix his back. Of course, no surgery is minor, but it was classified as that. Freak accident, paralyzed from the waist down. He tried everything he could think of, the occult, the New Age. He finally gave up, became an angry, bitter man with no hope, and time marched on. And 7.5 years passed. Then what happened, David?
One day, it was winter. I stayed home. I caught the flu. At 2 o'clock, there isn't much on Israeli television, apart from children's programs. So I played with the dial, and a program came in via Lebanon. And I saw 700 Club. And I thought, this is exactly what I need. You know, the connotation club. I expected one of the programs with dancing girls, you know, one of those.
A nightclub.
A club, you know. only to find out they were talking about Jesus.
Did you immediately touch the dial?
No, what I did was I took my wheelchair, rolled it quickly to the door, locked the door so Sheila, my wife, and my children shouldn't see me. I mean, a nice Jewish boy watching Jesus in right. Israel. I mean,
I
this doesn't happen every day.
You were desperate enough to look at anything.
So I watched, and what caught my interest was that people shared their testimonies. This particular day, a woman shared the testimony. She had a lump on one of her breasts. And they show you on an x-ray the lump. Mm. And she goes to her church, and the church prayed for her. And the next thing, she insists to have another set of x-rays, and that lump disappears.
Did you believe that?
I thought to myself, this is too much for my father's son to believe. You know, for healings, we have doctor. Who is this Jesus all of a sudden? But watching it daily, almost religiously, every day, because it caught, let me show you how I watched this program as a Jew.
Okay.
I thought to myself, why should I only feel miserable myself? Let me watch other people feel miserable for themselves. You know, this is how I watched this program, a religious program. But doing it month after month, literally day after day.
But you were hiding
oh, yes.
the fact that you were watching this, because if anyone else knew, it would be embarrassing for you.
Embarrassing? I mean, it was embarrassing lately, but later on. But the thing is, I watched it because later on, after watching it for a while, I realized that these people were not actors. At the beginning, I thought they were actors. Mm-hmm. They were paid actors, that's all. Like we are sitting now. Mm-hmm. There might be somebody out there. There might be somebody out there watching and thinking to himself, now here's a man who's acting, who's telling a story. But I'm here to tell you, God is no respecter of person. What he did for me, he will do, not might. He will do for you.
So
he
you're watching
this healing.
So you're watching this television mm-hmm. show, the 700 mm-hmm. Club, and you're becoming...
For 2 years.
2 years?
For 2 years, I've been watching it religiously daily. And 2 years later, there was this... I started to believe that I could be healed, that there must be something to it. And I've been starting to pray for myself. I absolutely asked God to heal me. And nothing happened until one day when this television evangelist came on and she said, Danuta Sadaman, she's no longer there. And she pointed the finger and she said, there is somebody out there who's been paralyzed for years. And as I'm speaking now, he will feel a certain sensation, he'll be healed.
Did you feel a certain sensation?
Nothing.
So what did
Nothing.
You figure? Didn't work.
I carried on praying because I realized if it wasn't for me, it must be for somebody else.
Wait a second, that bitter, angry man
yes.
that's feeling sorry for himself, why were you praying for someone else?
Because, like I said, God is not a prospective person. If it wasn't for me, it just wasn't my timing yet. It must be for somebody else. People should keep on praying. You know, no matter what the situation is, no matter how bad things look, keep on praying. So I prayed for somebody else. But that same evening, right about 10 o'clock it was, I was lying in bed, and the only way I can describe it is like an electric shock that ran down from my spine towards my legs.
Were you praying for this to happen?
Oh, yes.
That night, no.
That night, I was
lying in bed. Were you doing anything spiritual?
I was reading a book.
Okay.
Reading a book.
And all of a sudden, this like electric
shock from my spine towards my legs. My legs started shuddering in a way that I had no control over them. And I didn't pay attention because a paralyzed person gets these unwanted movements every now and then.
Right.
So I thought that this was one of those.
Like a reflex.
And I went to sleep. Yes, it's a reflex. And I went to sleep. The next morning, however, in order to get out of bed and strap myself into the shoes with the iron calipers mm-hmm. and the corset and, you know, the whole paraphernalia, I had to assist my legs to get out of bed. And as I touched my foot, there was feeling. I touched myself everywhere else, and there was feeling. And with the catheter, all of a sudden, I felt my bladder wants to work, something which I never felt for 7.5 years.
Well, who did you tell?
So here's my wife next to me in bed. Right. I said, Sheila, come quickly and see what happens. And my wife, bless her heart, she's South African, and this is how she did it. She said, rubbish, close your eyes. And she took a needle and she said, where am I pricking you? And let me tell you something, I stopped her right away before she's going to make a sieve out of me.
You know, could feel everything?
Every prick.
But you're not supposed to feel.
I'm not supposed to.
The doctors
to.
Have given up on
there you.
There
you go.
And even the psychics have given up on you.
Everybody
Everybody's
did.
Given
fact,
up.
In fact, I gave up
you
on you.
You gave up on you. But there was one person that did not give
Amen.
Up on you. So, she's poking this needle. You say, stop. What happened next?
We go to our local doctor on the Moshav. When I saw him disturbed, I realized something happened. Subsequently, he sent me to the Afula Hospital, which is the nearest town mm-hmm. where we stayed. And they did an EMG examination, which is an electrical way of testing reflexes. I had many of those before. And the guy who did this says to me, everything is all right. You'll have to come back the following week.
Everything is all right.
Everything is all right.
I mean, that's an understatement. Everything is all right. Everything is all right. I'll tell you something. Everything is all right.
Amen.
I'm speaking to you right now. There's someone that's so oppressed and so depressed, but I'm saying to you right now, by the Spirit of the living God, everything, everything, everything is all right. We'll be right back after this word. David Yaniv, you left us hanging. The doctor says everything's going to be all right. How did you feel?
For the first time, I saw not a glimpse of hope, but I really saw hope. I expected to be perfect.
Who did you give credit for this healing?
God, right away.
You knew.
And I'll tell you why. Because the following week, I was invited to come to the hospital. And there were neurosurgeons and neurologists from all over Israel. In fact, the professor who operated on me was one of them. And they examined me. And one of the doctors wearing a kippah, religious man, came to me and he says to me, this is a medical miracle, after examining me.
It sounds like one to me.
At this point, I couldn't contain myself. And I said to him, hang on to your horses. This is no medical miracle. This is Yeshua. In Israel, Yeshua is Jesus. But Yeshua happens to be a common name in Israel too. You know, many men are called Yeshua, like in Spain, Jesus. Many men are called Jesus. So this doctor, particular doctor, says to me, Yeshua who? And I was so glad he asked.
I'm sure you were.
Very glad, because I told him exactly Yeshua who.
You mean after watching the 700 Club all of this time, eventually, did you become a believer?
Oh, yes.
In him?
Oh, very much so. That very day, they gave me a letter to the effect that this is a medical miracle. I'm sorry I didn't bring it with
you. Tell me what the letter said.
The letter said, very simple, it says like this, we cannot explain how this happened, but we're glad that it did. This is how it ended. And of course, my case went into the Medical Gazette of Israel as a medical miracle, and into the Medical Gazette of Britain as a medical miracle.
I must ask you, your wife Sheila, tell me, how did this affect her? She had written off that she'd ever have a husband that could walk again. Do you know that in the United States of America, they are spending millions and millions of dollars to figure out how people that are paralyzed can walk? And instantly, you walked.
Sid, I walked out of this hospital, you know, like the story in the book of Acts, with all my calipers, everything in the wheelchair, on legs that were so thin, I mean, atrophy, 7.5 years.
Right.
No muscle worked. On legs that were fragile, just like this, skin and bone. I walked out of this hospital praising God. Praising God. And from that day onwards, Sheila and I, my wife Sheila, we witnessed to anything that moved. And when I say moved, I mean literally moved. The cockroaches on our moshav were saved because they moved. Anything that moved. And we're still doing it today, praising God.
Now I'm curious. There are people that are watching us that are paralyzed in one or more places in their body. There are people that are watching us right now that have cancer and have been given a death sentence.
Yes.
There are people that are watching us right now that have heart problems. There are people that are watching us right now that are hurting so, so bad. You said you were not obviously you weren't a special person.
No.
Why did God do this for you, David?
Out of his love. That's one of the natures of our Lord, and that is love. His name is love.
But you were an atheist, as I recall.
At the time, yes.
You were, and why were you an atheist?
Well, the simple way to explain it is because I just didn't believe in God. But the point is, you know, being an Israeli, and you know Israelis, you've been there many times, we're straightforward people. Whatever we cannot touch or feel or see, we just don't believe in. That's basically what we do. We have to touch it, to feel it, to know it's there. Anything that is supernatural, which this program talks about, we don't believe in. Of course, I believe in it now, praise God.
But
we didn't.
What about you? What about you? You're hurting so bad and no one sees it. You've got this facade like they have in Hollywood on the outside, and I'm happy, you're happy, I'm okay, you're okay. But when you're like David was, with all the doors closed and it's just you and me, there's another person that's with you right now.
Amen.
And that's God. That's God. And I can tell you, as David was speaking of the great miracle in his life, as David was speaking about that, I could feel welling up in my eyes tears. And I could also see them in David's eyes. And those tears were not for the great miracle that happened in David's life. Those tears are the love of God. Oh my goodness, someone's neck was just healed in Yeshua. I like his Hebrew name, how about you? In Yeshua's name, someone's neck and all the way down the back. And there are people, you don't need that surgery anymore. You bend over, you'll see, you're healed. But I am desperate to experience more and more of God's love. I'm almost like a drug addict. I've experienced so much of his love. He's been so good to me, so good to me, but I want more. There's nothing, all the money in the world, the best marriage in the world, the best children in the world. So you blink your eyes a few times and you're gonna have a tombstone. May he rest in peace. There's got to be something more to this life. But the truth is, some of you have some very, very complex and hurtful situations in your life. The first thing you need to do is forgive. Not because you feel like it, but because God has forgiven you before you deserved it. The next thing you do is you repent of your sins. I mean, you don't need any complex type of prayer. You tell God, I am sorry, I've sinned against you, and tell him what you've sinned against. You don't have to search your memory, your mind. You know exactly what you've done that's wrong. And then believe that the blood of Yeshua, the King of the Jews, the Passover Lamb, has washed away your sins. And ask him to live inside of you and say, God, raise your hands like King David did. King David said, I lift holy hands to God. Your hands are holy. You realize that. They're holy if they're under the blood of Yeshua. And say with your mouth, Yeshua, I make you my Messiah and Lord. And watch the love of God pour like a river. It's like a river of God's love. More, Lord. More. There is a purpose for your life. Don't give up. Give God. Give God. Go to him right now, right this moment. Go to him. He's waiting for you. He loves you. He's got such a wonderful explosion of love for you. Real love. Real love.